Hello and welcome to Encouraging Others and Loving Jesus. I'm your host, Kim Smith. This is episode 267, The Lord's Purpose Will Prevail. When I was a teenager, I knew nothing about contemporary Christian music. I had grown up in a Southern Baptist church where I learned hymns. And to me, that was Christian music. I did not know that there was anything but that until I was probably around 15, 16 years old. And I had a new friend come into my life. And she was listening to somebody I'd never heard of, named Amy Grant. And it was a big deal for the youth group at that time to go to an Amy Grant concert. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me why that was such a big deal. I had grown up with country music and really didn't know a whole lot about pop music at that time, just had learned a little bit, but did not know anything about even the concept of contemporary Christian. And we would be floating in the pool, and my friend would be playing probably a CD at that time, or maybe a cassette tape. Excuse me. Now that I think about it, probably a cassette tape of Amy Grant. And I'm like, I like this music. And it's Christian lyrics. And I just didn't know what to do with it. I didn't even have a frame of reference for it. And as the years went on, I learned a whole lot more about contemporary Christian music. And spent a lot of time, countless hours, listening to Amy Grant's music. One of the songs that came out later that I catch my mind playing part of the chorus at the most random of times. And today when I was preparing for this podcast, I caught myself singing Somewhere Down the Road, There'll Be Answers to the Questions. Somewhere down the road, though I cannot see it now. Somewhere down the road, there will be mighty hands reaching for you. And they will hold the answers at the end of the road. So I went back, they remastered the song, I think it was in 2022, and I've got the link down in the show notes. And I just went back and listened to it, because those lyrics, really, I would think all of us as Christ followers would identify with. Because we all, if we are honest with ourselves, we all have questions. We don't have the answers. We all have questions that this side of heaven are not going to be answered. It truly is a somewhere down the road, there'll be answers to the questions. I pulled up two verses from the book of Isaiah that I often quote in my Sunday school class and have used on this podcast more times than I can even count. And that is Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And aren't you glad that is the truth? But as a result of his ways being higher than our ways and his thoughts being higher than our thoughts, we're not always going to understand what he is up to. We are not going to understand his purposes 24/7. Like, we're just not going to. we've been walking our way through the book of 1 Kings and sometimes hopping over into 2 Chronicles because we've been talking about the life of King David, then the life of King Solomon of Israel. And we started a couple of weeks ago about the discussion about the divided kingdom. And last week we talked about King Solomon's son Rehoboam and the fact that the kingdom had not been divided at that time. Rehoboam was going to be crowned the king of all of Israel. And last week we talked about his introductory decision that, well, it didn't turn out well. He was trying to figure his way. What direction was he going to go? And am I going to be tough like my dad was? Am I going to be tougher? Am I going to be more lenient? What's going to win the approval of the people? What's going to keep me in the good graces and is going to keep me in power? I guess not the good graces, but keep me in power. And so he first reaches out to the older men who had been his dad's advisors, and they give him some advice. And they're like, you know, you probably should let up a little bit and it'll probably go better for you. And he didn't really like that answer, so he went to his peers and asked them, and they're pretty much like, make it as hard as possible. You just need to do that. And we talked last week about who he didn't consult. And that plays in so much to this week that I even bled over some of the verses from last week into this week. Because he didn't consult the Lord. Like, how many times do we do just like Rehoboam and we ask social media, we ask friends, we ask coworkers, we ask neighbors, we ask random strangers, but we do not go to the one who has all the answers. And that's what he did. And as a result, he decided he was going to crack the whip. And it did not go well in any way, shape, or form. And, well, what God had said was going to happen, and that was that 10 tribes were going to go under the reign of Jeroboam, who we will talk about for the next few weeks. Rehoboam, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Like, he gets the fact that that's what the tribes have decided, but instead of going to Judah and taking care of business. So let's just read some of the last verses in this segment right before us. 1 Kings 12, let's start with 16. When all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, "Down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your own house, O David." So the people of Israel returned home. And here's 17, "But Rehoboam continued to rule over Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah." In other words, all of a sudden, the nation of Israel was not a nation of Israel anymore. And Rehoboam was left with just the tribe of Judah, is how it's worded, but Benjamin was included in that. So, but very few of the Israelites decided to follow under Rehoboam. That's where we pick up again with 18. It said, "King Rehoboam sent Adoniram." And if you look, many of you have different translations, and it may say Adoram. But either way, it's the same person who was in charge of the forced labor. Now, why in the world Rehoboam thought it was a good idea to send the man who was in charge of forced labor to restore order? Like, did he think that the heavy-handed approach was going to work better after they revolted against the heavy-handed approach? I don't know. He doesn't always make the best of decisions. Like, most of the time he doesn't. It says, to restore order, but the people of Israel stoned him to death. Did you see that coming? I saw that coming. Like, we knew that that was not going to work. Heavy-handedness that had already been what had sent the Israelites leaving the nation of Israel under King David's family. And then he sends in kind of like the bully and thinks that's going to pull off making things better. Really? When this news reached King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped in his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. In other words, oh well, I guess the heavy-handed approach isn't going to work, and I'm going to turn tail and run, because otherwise they're going to come after me. It says, and to this day, the northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David. Verse 20, when the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return from Egypt. So let's stop there. If you weren't with us last week or the last couple of weeks. So Jeroboam was the leader within the kingdom of Israel under Solomon's reign. He was a trusted official that Solomon really liked, but God sent word to him that when the kingdom is divided, you're going to have 10 tribes. You're going to have 10 northern tribes. And it seems that Solomon got word of that, and instead of humbling himself before God and begging God for mercy, instead he tries to kill Jeroboam. So Jeroboam takes off to Egypt. And then when Solomon dies and Rehoboam is starting his reign, Jeroboam comes back and he's one of the representatives to go to talk to Rehoboam. So when the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return from Egypt, they called an assembly and made him king over all Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. So that's where we stand. Rehoboam, bad decisions, and this all played into God's purpose. That's where we're at here. Proverbs 20:29. I keep saying things wrong. Proverbs 19:21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Like, there was no verse in Scripture that I could think of that would better fit what was going on with Rehoboam. Rehoboam keeps making plans, and somehow or another, he thinks they're good plans. And I know we've got hindsight, but these didn't look good to begin with. But the Lord had already said what was going to happen, and Rehoboam's decisions were just playing right into that. And then we've got verses 21 through 24, which is our focal verses. And I know it's a short set, but it just, when I read over it, I really thought that we can learn something out of this. So here we go. When Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem, so let's stop there. What do you think that when Rehoboam has turned tail and run because 10 of the Israelite tribes have said, no way are you going to be our leader, and they have elected Jeroboam to be their leader. Rehoboam goes back to Jerusalem. What do you think he's going to do? So I just know what I would probably do. Like, I would be focusing on leading Judah well. I would be focusing on developing the relationships, getting leadership in place, like doing what needs to be done to do this well. And that's not what he did. He mobilized the men of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. Again, Benjamin is in that same boat there. 180,000 select troops to fight against the men of Israel to restore the kingdom to himself. When I read that, I've read it before, but today when I read it, I was like, I'm just wanting to shake the boy. Like, Rehoboam, what in the world do you think you are doing? You've already tried the heavy-handed approach, and they've said no. You've sent your forced labor dude, your bully, to get them to come back. They've killed him. And now you've decided that you're going to mobilize an army from two tribes of Israel to go face off against the armies from 10 tribes of Israel. We don't know the exact number of military men that the 10 tribes had, but let's just be honest here. Like, what in the world is he doing? And that's what I ask all the time when it comes to Rehoboam, what in the world are you doing? And even though this is not where we're officially landing this lesson, I want you to think about, like, when have you done a boneheaded thing like this, where you have not been thinking rationally? And the thing is, if you thought that he just showed up in Judah and he got just this wild idea and he turned around and went back, well, it takes a while to mobilize 180,000 troops. So it's not like it was a full knee-jerk reaction. He had time to, like, stop and think. And he didn't. And thankfully, the Lord intervenes, or we would have had tons of bloodshed within the Israelite family just because Rehoboam has no impulse control, does not consult the Lord. And so that back to that verse in Proverbs 19:21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Sometimes that would frustrate us because we're thinking, I want my plans to succeed. But then you look at what Rehoboam did, and I am so thankful that his plans did not succeed, because there would have been extreme bloodshed and God's purpose would have still happened because the kingdom was going to divide. So let's look at 22 through 24. But God said to Shimei, the man of God, say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. Do not fight against your relatives, the Israelites. Go back home, for what has happened is my doing. So they obeyed the message of the Lord and went home as the Lord commanded. We finally have something that we can credit Rehoboam with doing. And that is, he did not choose to fight against the Lord. He hasn't consulted him. He has run off roughshod and tried to start a war with the north so that he can become king over all with 180,000 troops against 10 different tribes of Israel. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. And we don't know. I guess one of the many, 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 many questions I will ask when I get to heaven is, was it just God's word that Rehoboam trusted and turned around and went back home? Did he believe Shimei's words? Or did God give him some miraculous sign, like lightning in the heavens, or... like, we don't know. All we know is that God said, go back home. This is from me. I did this. I am the one who split the kingdom. Go home. And Rehoboam did. And God's purpose prevails. But how many times have we been like Rehoboam? Where, number one, we do not consult the Lord. Number two, we have in our mind that we got this figured out and we're going to go full steam ahead, even if we're driving off of a cliff. And God in his mercy, because that's all this is. It's mercy toward Rehoboam for sure and for certain. Because Rehoboam very well could have been killed in the conflict. Because who are they going after? Him, obviously. But 180,000 troops and then the ones that would have been fighting for the northern kingdom. Like, God was just merciful to just speak and say, just stop it and go home. This is from me. I'm overwhelmed at the moment. Getting a little choked up. That God is so merciful with each of us. Because Rehoboam isn't the first and he won't be the last to just go off and not consult the Lord and go strictly on emotions and nearly destroy lives, including possibly his own. I just keep flashing to social media, because how many people have you seen that have posted something on social media that was destructive? And I have a mild Facebook following, but I hear stories from others. I've seen some things on there myself that have been destructive, but I've heard others that have, or they've shown me, and talking about airing the dirty laundry or posting videos, just the things that people do. And it's not just teenagers. Teenagers have a bad rap. Teenagers have a bad rap that they are impulsive, which can happen, no doubt about it, and they can say things that they wish they wouldn't when they grow up, and they can do things, you know, all those decisions. But they're not the only ones. Rehoboam was not a teenager. And Rehoboam was going totally on emotion. No logic in this whatsoever. Totally on emotion. But how many times do we do that? How many times do we just go on emotion? And we have our plans. This is it. This is it. Certain people, the number of times I've heard them tell me something like, I know this is from God. And I'm looking at them going, yeah, don't think so. I don't necessarily hear God's voice directly in that moment, but sometimes it's obvious that it's not from God, because it's not in any way, shape, or form holy. All of us can be challenged by Rehoboam and his emotionalism and his impulsiveness. And if God had not intervened, there would have been bloodshed, countless bloodshed more than likely, just because one man went off half-cocked. But he's not the only one. So our weekly assignment feature is, how would fully surrendering to the truth in Psalm 19:21 change your outlook on life? You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I bet you spend some time meditating on that verse and then surrendering to God's purpose. When you have a thought of, oh, I think this is from God, or you just have a thought of, this is what I'd like to do, how about you go to the Lord and surrender it to Him and say, God, this is what I really want. But more than anything in this world, I want your purpose to prevail. So, dear God, may my plans match your purpose. Does that grab hold of you as it grabs hold of me? Dear Father, today I pray that for each person within the sound of my voice, first and foremost, if they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, oh dear God, we know that that is your purpose for their life. I pray that you would work in their hearts, that you would surround them with people who love you and can point them to you. Dear Father, for those who have chosen to follow you at some point in their life, but they have been living on emotion and just making plans or decisions in the blink of an eye, and you in your mercy have been putting roadblocks to save them from themselves. I just pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them courage, that you would give them strength, that you would work in their hearts so that they would see that as much as they seem to be determined in whatever direction it may be, the determination would best be for them to determine to submit to your purposes. Dear God, you have said that if we will surrender to you, you will give us the desires of our heart. And a lot of people like that desires of the heart part, but they miss the part that we have to submit. Like, we have got to get to know you. And when we get to know you, the reason we'll get the desires of our heart is because our desires will match your desires. Dear God, I don't know what's going on in that heart and life of each person who is listening, but you do. And dear Father, I pray that your purpose will prevail in his or her life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm trusting that God will use even this, even Rehoboam's impulsiveness, to help you walk more in the purposes of God. Got information down below. I've got a link on how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've got questions or concerns, you can send me an email at encouragingothersinlovingjesus@gmail.com. If you want to get to all 267 episodes of this podcast, you can go to the very bottom and scan the QR code. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing this with others. Thanks to everyone who goes out and gives us a review on whatever platform you listen on, because it does matter. And next week, we will start talking about Jeroboam. And I wish that I could say that we could learn from him because he made the right decisions and he honored God with his life. But that's not the case. But thankfully, God can help us learn even from those who didn't choose to follow in his ways. So remember, it's always a trust and obey kind of day.